Welcome back, friends. So now we're still somewhat within the, not somewhat, we are within the context of Isaiah's biographical background, and Mike is going to do us the privilege and honor to read Isaiah's call.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for."
So we see Isaiah has a vision of the heavenly throne room. He sees God's throne, the train of his robe that fills the temple, but he does not see God or God's face. He sees the seraphim, which is a type of angel. It's one of the highest choirs of angels, meaning burning ones. This is not a chunky, cute little baby, like we sometimes think. And the first, so the seraphim, burning angel, Isaiah sees it in the presence of God, and the first thing he thinks to me is, "Woe is me." He does not say, "Oh, that's awesome or cool." He says, "Woe is me. I am a sinful man with sinful lips," because he knows that he needs purification and that he's seen the Lord Almighty. And right, without being purified, you can't stand in his presence. You can't just stand in his presence because of his awesomeness. So much Jesus does for us, right? So much. So Isaiah knows he needs purification, forgiveness, atonement for his own sin. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to stand in the presence of God. So the angel comes to him with a burning coal from the altar and the heavenly vision of a temple, and he touches the coal to Isaiah's lips. So let's listen now for discipline. And that sounds painful, and if I had my opinion, it probably was. I don't think it was just some metaphorical experience. I think that suffering is, no one likes suffering. I don't like suffering. Micah doesn't like suffering. Nobody likes it. But it is a teacher, and it is part of our human experience. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think he was probably had pain, because it was a type of cauterizing effect. And then your sins are atoned for by this action. You've received the atoning cauterizing pain on your lips, and your lips are now clean. Clean to do what? Proclaim the words as the Lord tells Isaiah to proclaim them. And so here in the beginning, God speaks, who will we send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah, a moment before, was cowering in fear, and rightly so, because he has a burden of sin that hasn't been atoned for. And after the burning coal, he has a boldness of heart, and he says, "Here I am, send me. I'll be your servant." And God tells him this message.
I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, Go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump.
So God tells Isaiah some hard words. They're hard to hear, and they actually will cause some hearts to become hardened because they are hard. Does God want them to repent? And so this is where we need to read this within context. Of course, he wants them to repent. And we find this regularly throughout sacred scripture. And we know in our own life, when we encounter a hardened heart, it oftentimes becomes more stubborn and more unyielding to correction. A heart that is struggling but docile is one that will, of course, listen to God and hear the truth that is spoken. So, some people.
Wild image.
It is. It is. And some at this time do that because. Yes, you're going to lose your land. You're going to lose your home, your ancestral way of life. You're going to be in a foreign place with foreign rulers, but you'll have your life and you'll have your children's lives. And I will be with you. It'll be like the wilderness experience, you know, in Deuteronomy and with Moses. And then I'll bring you back. And some did that. There were some few did that. But others thought that that wasn't their plan. They didn't like that plan. And of course, with the siege warfare and all of that, become so impoverished that you're eating your own children and dung of the cows, and is dysentery, so disease, and all manners of horrible ways that comes from that type of situation. So, all right. What if we pick up in the next episode with an analogy to this situation that we are a little more familiar with?
Sounds good.
All right. Till then, my friends, fide sriracha.